What a blessing. They are getting better and better at these instruments. And here in a few years, you're going to be able to say, I know that family. And what a blessing God, that is. Isn't that precious? I love to see young people that are growing and learning and serving the Lord, using what God gives them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll be all of us that are seeking to use whatever talents, whatever abilities God gives to serve Jesus Christ and be faithful to Him. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 this morning, so if you'll stand with me as we read a portion of the Word of God. We're just going to read one verse here this morning, and it's going to be right in the middle of the chapter, verse number 10. And we're going to give this here today as a New Year's challenge. Just all this week, this verse and this section of Scripture, just going through my heart and mind. And I said, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want for this coming year. And verse number 10, here's Paul the Apostle giving his testimony and expressing that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. What Paul says, this is my heart's desire, this is my longing, this is my goal, that I may know Jesus Christ. And I want to just present that as a challenge here this morning, as a new year beginning, first Sunday of the year, that we would set this as our goal. That this would be our prayer, that what Paul expressed, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be close to Jesus. I want Him to be my dearest and best friend. I want to walk with Him. I want to love Him. I want to be real with Him. I want to present this as a challenge for this coming year. You'll join me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for this challenge that Paul has put before us here, this challenge that You have given to us. And Lord, I am thankful this morning and always when I stand in this pulpit, just grateful that You know hearts. And Lord, that You are able to take Your word and use Your word at the very point of need. And we all recognize that we are nothing, that we are really sinful flesh. But Lord, You're willing to take sinful flesh, and You are willing to use just exactly where we are to accomplish Your purposes. And we pray this morning that You would do so, that You would uplift Yourself, that You would glorify Your name. Lord, challenge our hearts today. May this be our prayer. May this be our goal in the coming year. We pray these things in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated with me this morning. And I want to present this to you this morning as a New Year's prayer, as a goal for 2022 to know Jesus. I would just ask this morning, how well do you know Him? How much do you love Him? How real is the Lord Jesus Christ to you and your life? Now, do you realize that across the world, there are great numbers of people that have never even heard the name of Jesus? They don't even know that He exists. There are others that have heard the name of Jesus. They really don't know who He is. Maybe they think He was a great prophet and maybe a good person. Some might know of Him as the founder of Christianity, and sad to say, that would even be the case as in many churches, that many know of Jesus, but they really don't know Him. Now, there are some that know a bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ. They know about Him. They've heard of His birth, and we have the Christmas season, and they may even believe that Jesus was virgin born, and they know of the life of Jesus, and they might know of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the stories and accounts of those miracles, and they know and have heard of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know of the resurrection of the Lord, and they know all of those things, and that's where I was for many years. I'd grown up in church, and I knew those things, and I believed those things, but I didn't know Him. I know about Ronald Reagan, but I didn't know Ronald Reagan. I've studied a bit of his history and so could tell you some of the things about him, and that he was the governor of California, and that he became the president of the United States of America, and he was elected. I know about him, but I never knew him. I never got to meet him. And that's where some people are with the Lord Jesus Christ. They know about Jesus, but they don't know him. But then there are those that know the Lord Jesus personally. They've come to meet the Lord as their Savior, as their Lord. I hope that is you this morning. The disciples in the days of Jesus, there were many disciples of the Lord. There were crowds that would throng about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you notice of the disciples, there were even different levels of knowledge and the depth of their knowing of the Lord amongst the disciples. We know of the multitudes of disciples, there were the 12, and they were chosen. They were at a different level than the others. They had the privilege of being with Jesus day and night, and they had the privilege of firsthand witnessing the life and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very real and intimate way. But even amongst the 12 disciples, I believe that there were three that were just a little bit closer than the 12, and that would have been Peter, James, and John. And I think they had, for example, the opportunity to go with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they witnessed the glorified Lord. And they had just a little bit more depth of knowledge and knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ than the other 12. But I think even of the three, we could say that John the Apostle was the beloved. I think the life of John the Apostle, John was maybe the closest, the most intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ of all of the apostles. It just seemed that John had a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and just that relationship with Jesus that was so very real in his life. And I think that's what Paul is describing here in his statement, verse number 10. He's saying from prison, by the way, this is my goal. This is what I want. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want to just know about him, but I want to know him. I want to know him deeply and intimately. I want to walk with him in a very real way. And wouldn't that be a wonderful goal here for 2022? To seek to be as close to Jesus as we can possibly be. I want that as my goal. You know, when I preach, I want it to come out of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I despise religion. I want relationship. I want us to walk and talk with Jesus Christ. Valley Bible Baptist, that'd be my goal for our church. Because we might be a church that truly knows Jesus in a real way. It's a wonderful goal. It's a wonderful prayer for 2022. Now, as Paul is expressing this, I want to just come and give a little bit of context here. And let's look at what knowing Jesus might entail for each of us here this morning. I think as you look at the context, it's evident Paul is saying, I want to know his person. In other words, in this context, he's giving his own testimony of his personal relationship with Jesus and of his salvation. As you look back in previous verses here, for example, let's go back to verse number 6. And in this context, Paul is giving his life before his salvation, before he knew Christ in a personal way. And Paul, as he expresses, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, he says, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now here Paul is saying, before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a good Jew. I was circumcised according to the law, the eighth day, just as the law had expressed. He says, I was of the lineage of Benjamin. I can pull out my papers. I can show you my heritage. I can show you that I'm a part of the Jewish nation. I'm a part of those promises of God. And he said, not only was I of the tribe of Benjamin, but he's describing I was a Pharisee, not just a Pharisee in name, but I was a religious Pharisee. It was very real to me. I was active as a Pharisee. I sought to follow the law. I was very zealous, very sincere. And really, he's describing blameless in the eyes of man concerning the law. And he says, even in my zeal, I persecuted the church. I persecuted those who claimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, as we study the Word of God, that Paul was present when Stephen was stoned. And I don't think Paul ever got a hold over that. He was Saul at the time, known as Saul at the time. And they laid their cloaks or their coats at the young man's feet by the name of Saul. And so he witnessed and he was a part of that. And we know that he continued to persecute Christians. He was on the road to Damascus and he's seeking to persecute those who knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said, that's my zeal. But he said that wasn't enough. There was something missing, something I needed in my life. I didn't know him before that time. I was lost in my zeal, my self-righteousness. They fell short of what God had for me. And Paul, in describing this, if you look at verse number 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And he's describing that life as a lost man. He said, I had to come to that point of humility and counted all things for loss. And he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And what Paul is describing, before I met Christ, I had religion, but I was lost in that religion. I had to humble myself. I had to admit my need of Christ. I had to admit that I was lost. I had to put my trust, not in myself and my righteousness, but I had to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. See, religious pride and self-trust and self-righteousness is one of the hardest things to admit and one of the hardest things to die to. And our world today is filled with religion and self-righteousness, and our flesh does not want to die to self. Our flesh wants to do everything that it can to earn its way to God, but it's an impossibility. I was visiting with a Sikh from this area sometime back, and as I was visiting with this Sikh and opened up the Word of God, and I'm thankful I had the opportunity to open up the Word of God and give a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he made the statement to me something like this. He said, well, that's good for you, but that's not my way to God. And he said, I believe there are many ways to God. And he said, in fact, there are as many ways to God as there are people. Every person has their own way to God. And see, that's the flesh. That's our religious nature. That's our self. We want to earn our way to God, but we can't. It's an impossibility. And can I say there's only one way to God? And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. And we cannot be saved until we come to that place of admitting our need, admitting our lost estate. And that's Paul's testimony before he met Christ. Wednesday night, we preached out of the Gospel of Mark chapter number 10. We talked about a wealthy man that came running literally to Jesus when Jesus came to his area. And he stated to Jesus, good master, he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And here was this man. He was very wealthy. He was moral. He was religious. He was sincere. And yet he was empty. And so he comes to Jesus. Lord, I'm lacking something. What is it? I have kept the law. I've obeyed the law to the best of my ability. But something is wrong in the depths of my heart. And sadly, as we finished that account in Mark chapter 10, we had a man that went away from Jesus sad because he was covetous and unwilling to admit that covetousness and bow his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many like that. And so Paul had to die to come to Jesus. Now, I don't know the heart of any person, but I think it would be very fitting to start the new year and make sure of your salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, Paul said to this church at Corinth, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. He said, prove your own selves. Know you not that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, I would just say, and I think every person, you need to know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way? Does the Spirit of God live in you and bear witness with you that you're God's child? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no in between. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I shared this morning back in the Spanish Sunday school, sure seems that we're going to see Jesus soon, maybe this year. But I fear that many, even in churches, have been deceived with a false hope of salvation. They're kind of like Saul. They have a hope that's built not on Christ, but on their lineage. The fact they grew up in a Christian home, they're a part of a church, and they've been baptized, and their hope is built on their religion. It's built upon their zealousness, but it's not built upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, when we stand before the Lord, there's only one thing that's going to get you into heaven, and that is the blood of Jesus that has washed your sin. There's absolutely nothing that you can present to Jesus Christ to say that you're worthy of heaven. The only thing that makes you worthy of heaven is what Jesus did for you upon the cross of Calvary. And so I believe it would be very fitting. Make sure, know that you know that you know that you're saved. I think it could very well be this year Jesus is going to come back, and anybody that does not know him personally is going to be left behind and face the horrible years of tribulation. And that is coming soon upon the world. So when I say I want to know him, I want to know his person. I want to know salvation. But it doesn't stop with that. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, is Paul is expressing here this statement in the context. He says in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I not only want to know his person and have that relationship with Jesus, and that was settled for Paul. Paul said, I know whom I believe in, and am persuaded that he is able to, which I have committed unto him against that day. And Paul can give that testimony, but now he's saying, I want to go beyond that, and I want to know his power in my life. See, as Paul considered his salvation, that was just the beginning. In verse number 10, I want to know him deeply, intimately. I want to know his power. The power of his resurrection. Resurrection power. He said, I want to know personally this one that spoke the world into being. I want to know personally this one that made everything from nothing. I want to know very personally the power of this one that holds and sustains this world. I want to know that miracle worker, the one that in the Old Testament delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt and parted the Red Sea and gave them manna from heaven and water from the rock. And I want to know that one that healed the sick and raised the dead and calmed the sea. I want to know that power in my own life. See, the Lord proved his deity. He proved his power when he rose again. And death could not hold him. He said, Paul is describing this. I want to know that power in my own life. And I think Paul could say it was that power that saved me. It was that power that on the road to Damascus came to me, and I saw that light, and I bowed my knee, and I gave my heart, my life. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and he came into my life that day, and I'll never be the same. But it's that power that forgives me day by day. And Paul had much to be forgiven for, and we'll see that here in just a moment. And it's that power, Paul's able to say, that changes me and changed my life, and we call that sanctification. It's the process which we are made in the image of Jesus Christ. I believe this morning that the Lord has the power to change anyone. I believe he can deliver from any sin, from any bondage. And remember, it was Paul that said, I'm crucified with Christ. I've died to myself. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the resurrection power. The Lord lives in me, and I live my life by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, as we talk about this resurrection power, that power to change, I want you to keep your place here. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I think a very fitting passage as we come to the beginning of a new year. In Ephesians chapter 4, you talk about a power to change. Here's what the Lord would do for us in this coming year. Ephesians 4, verse number 22. Here Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's the old life. That's our flesh. He says, put it off like you change dirty clothes, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And he says, put on the new man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And there he describes, here's the old man putting away lying. That's the old nature. That's the old man. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's the new man. He says in verse number 26, be angry. That's the old man, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The old man, let him that stole steal no more. The new man, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The old man, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but the new man, that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The old man, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The new man, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's only Jesus that can do that in your life. That's his power that he wants to work. He changes you, and his power to not only save you, but to sanctify you, to mold you into the image of Jesus Christ. It's that power that changes you. And wouldn't it be wonderful to know that power in this coming year? It's that power that prepares you for service. Now, Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And you think about how God used Paul, just a normal man. And God used Paul so many ways. Thousands were saved under his ministry. Churches planted all over the world. 14 books of the Bible penned by Paul. But it wasn't Paul, it was Jesus using Paul. It was the power of the Lord in his life. That's the power the Lord wants to work in us. See, our flesh is nothing, but the Lord wants his power to work through us, that lives could be reached for Jesus Christ. See, God has called us to do things for him that are humanly impossible. Your family. In your flesh, you can never reach your family. But in the power of God, you can. Your friends and neighbors and co-workers. In your flesh, you fall short. But the power of the Lord working through you can minister to their lives. This valley so needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, the power of God working through our lives can reach into this valley and into northern New Mexico and literally to the uttermost parts of the world. I think that's what Paul's saying. Lord, I want to know your power. And could that be our prayer for 2022? I want to know that power. But look back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And Paul, as he expresses, I want to know him. I want that personal relationship with him. I want to know his power. But you'll notice this next statement in verse number 10. He's saying, I want to know his presence. In verse number 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. But notice this, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know his presence in my life, that fellowship, the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul suffered much for Christ, as you read the testimony and life of Paul. But through it all, he discovered the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the church at Philippi was planted in suffering, and we can go back to Acts chapter 16. You can read that testimony. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. Paul and Silas sang at the midnight hour. And there was the presence of Jesus Christ as Paul suffered in that prison. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in a prison house in Rome. And it was from that prison house the presence of Jesus was so real to him. And then you read in the life of Paul, he suffered in prison and in shipwreck in Acts 27. And that's a beautiful passage where he discovered the presence of Jesus in his suffering. He was rejected, even in bonds, but he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. It was his presence that sustained me. Now, Paul had the attitude that he could face anything that the Lord allowed with the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, what does 2022 hold? I don't know. But may we know his presence in this coming year? I know this, that with his presence, there's nothing that you will face in this coming year but what he will not carry you through it. Without Christ to face 2022, that's a scary thought. When I look at what's happening in my world today, without Christ, that's scary. But in the presence of Jesus Christ, what a joy it is to live. With Christ, we can face anything that he allows. We sing the song, many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. So I'm thoroughly convinced of this, that no matter what you face, the presence of Jesus, his grace in every situation is so real. I shared in the Spanish ministry this morning, could very well be that we'll face persecution in this coming year. There are thousands of Christians across this world that gave their life for Jesus last year. I wonder if that time is not coming in America. I wonder if it's going to cost us something to serve Jesus. And yet I know that if it does, the Lord will give his grace for that situation. Now, there may be some of you that will face some sickness, some suffering, but his grace will be sufficient. Maybe rejected or loneliness, his grace is sufficient. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul expresses that he came to that place of weakness and he discovered in his own weakness that the grace of the Lord was sufficient in that weakness. And it's often in our weakness, it's often in our suffering that the presence of Jesus becomes so real to us. And so I want the presence of Jesus in 2022. Does that mean that we'll face suffering? Well, I can tell you this. If that's what it takes to draw us closer to Jesus, it would be worth it. It would be far better to suffer and have the presence of Jesus than to have everything before us but miss the presence of Jesus. And Paul is expressing, I want to know the presence of the Lord. And if it's in suffering that I know that presence, then I'm willing to do so. I want to know his presence. But as I move on, I believe, look in verse number 10, this latter statement. I think what Paul is expressing, I want to know his passion in my life. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, but this statement being made conformable unto his death. I want to be like Jesus. I think that's what Paul's saying. I want to be conformed to his image. When others see me, I want them to see Jesus. Now, what does he mean? Go back with me to Philippians chapter 2. And when he's describing this thought, being made conformable unto his death, I think this is what he would speak about in verse 5 in Philippians 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When Paul said, I want to be like Jesus, that's what I want. I want to die to myself. I want to be humble like Jesus was humble. And though he's God, he became man and he gave himself to serve others. And I want to be like Jesus. He was obedient in every detail to his Father. And if I'm going to know Jesus in a personal, intimate way, I'm going to have to be humble like Jesus, a servant like Jesus. I'm going to have to be obedient like Jesus. That's what I want. That's my passion. That's my desire. It's to be like Jesus. How can that take place? We'll go back to Philippians chapter 3. How can I be like Jesus? Look with me in verse number 12 of Philippians 3. If I'm going to be like Jesus, there has to be dissatisfaction in my life. Paul said, not as though I'd already attained. In other words, Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. That's what I want. That's my goal. That's my passion. But I'm not there yet. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived yet at where I want to be. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to be closer. I want to be more like Him. Now, many never know Christ fully because they become satisfied with their spiritual life. See, sometimes we get things backwards. Go with me to Philippians 4 for just a second. We get things here. Paul is describing of his material possessions and where he is physically. He says in verse 11, not as though I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what Paul is expressing in that passage is, I've learned in my life to be content with whatever God has given unto me. And He's given me wealth at times, and I've been content with that. And sometimes I've been abased and I've had nothing, but I've been content with that because the Lord knows what I need and He understands my needs. He provides for my needs, and I've learned in every state, wherever that is, to be content. But he said, I'm not content with my walk with Jesus. I've not arrived yet spiritually. He said, I'm not satisfied. One of the secrets is I've read about successful people, successful athletes, successful leaders, is they're always seeking to improve. They're never completely satisfied with their past accomplishments. I was reading about a man that broke a world record, and he was asked the question to this effect. He said, now you've arrived, and are you happy about that? Are you content with that? And he said, no. He said, I can do better. He said, I've learned some things. I'm going to set this record again, and I'm going to make this record even greater than what it has been. And that's what Paul is saying. In all of the churches that have been planted, the lives that have been touched by Paul the Apostle, he said, I'm still not satisfied. I'm not as close to Jesus as I want to be. If you're going to know the Lord and His passion, there's going to be some dissatisfaction. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and look with me in verse number 13. There has to be some direction. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but notice this statement, a single focus, this one thing I do. I've got this direction, this focus of my life. Forgetting, he says, those things which are behind. Now, sometimes we cannot press forward because we're held by the past. And how many Christians are held by the guilt of their past? That old accuser comes along and accuses of that past, and then you continue to take up that accusation and that past and that guilt and that shame. If anybody could have been destroyed by his past, it would have been Paul. Paul had murdered Christians. But Paul said, I forget that. That's under the blood. That's in my past. He said, that's forgiven. That's behind me. That's not going to control me anymore. I'm able, because of the blood of Christ, to turn, and now I have another direction. I'm not living in my past. I'm not living in that shame and that guilt, and I'm not living that burden of the past. I'm living now for the future. That's what he says. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Now, I think about this. Could have lived in his past and all the accomplishments and all the blessings that God had given to him. But Paul's saying, no, there have been churches planted, lives that have been saved, but I'm not going to. I'm still pressing forward for the future to do more. That's what he says, reaching forth to those things which are before. I'm living for that which is still ahead of me. Reminds me of Abraham. Abraham was not comfortable in Canaan land. He had no possession in Canaan land. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And what Abraham is saying is, I'm not living for this life. I'm living for eternity. I'm living not for self. I'm living not for what I can get here and now, but I'm living for eternal blessings. I think that's what Paul is saying. I'm still pressing for that city whose builder and maker is God. And there's determination. You notice verse 14. If you're going to know Jesus and his passion, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize. I'm running the race to win the race, to do my best for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm determined. Now, I'm going to give a challenge here for 2022, to know the passion of Christ, to determine. That's going to take fasting. It's going to take praying. We gave an advertisement, as Brother Ho called it, on Friday night. That passion to know Christ. If I want to know him, I need to spend time with him. I'm determined to spend time to know Jesus personally. I can't know him if I'm not going to spend time with him. That means searching the scriptures. Challenge you to read your Bible every day in this coming year, determined, I want to know Jesus. A daily habit. Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. You can't say, I want to know him and neglect the word of God. You must be in the Bible day by day. I want to know him. That would involve determined. I want to be faithful and committed in this coming year to church and to the service. And I need that. You can't know Christ if you're not going to be faithful to the search or to the church and the scriptures that God has given. I believe to know Christ and that passion ultimately leads us to the purpose of Jesus, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the passion of Christ. You realize the more you know him, the more you want to share him. The closer you are to him, the more you can't keep him to yourself. When he becomes your best friend, you want to tell everybody about this friend that has changed you and saved you. Can you say from the depths of your heart, I want to know him? I want to know Jesus. For some of you here this morning, it needs to start with his person. You need salvation. Make certain that you know you're saved. I want to know him. I want his power on my life. We're but flesh. But when we're dying to self and crucified with Christ, his power can live through us. I want to know his presence, even if that means going through some suffering, because it's in that suffering that the fellowship of Christ becomes real. I want to know his passion. I want to spend time with him. I want to be passionate about Christ. I want to get to know him personally and intimately through the Word of God, through prayer, through fasting, through church. Wonderful commitment, wouldn't it be, for 2022? With every head bowed,